And we're back once again, only on its last call. Last call of the alcohol, only on the last call podcast.com. And joining me here on location once again, kicking the new year off. A lot of big things going on, a lot of big fights be happening soon. And well, just like we had them on last year for a lot of big things, I'm bringing them back for this year to talk about a lot of big things that give you one of boxing's best kept secrets and one of the best podcasters this side of North America. I give you Manny Montreal. So, Manny, let's start off here with let's talk about the big fight coming up January 13th in your neck of the woods, Quebec City, Canada. It's Ardabiderbiev versus Callum Smith. How excited are you about this fight? And what should we expect for Biderbiev's first title defense in 2024?
Well, okay. So let's not be shy about what we're talking about here. We're talking about a boxer that in the last decade has accumulated 19 wins, 100% KO ratio, so that means 19 KOs. Even when he fought a Koehling and it went the distance, he ended up dropping the dude twice in the 10th and the 12th round. A creature like we've not seen before, something once in a lifetime. Now, that being said, the one bright side going into this for Calum is that age and injuries and inactivity could finally be starting to show, some weakness in the impenetrable better behalf. It's a hell of a fight. It had he not gotten injured, it would have been 20 KOs or 20 wins with 20 KOs, assuming, in under a decade. And now, we're just going a bit over 10 years now, unified titles, the added pressure of walking into that Bivol big money fight in Saudi Arabia. I don't know, it's a question of whether or not it'll take its toll at this point.
Likely. How likely is it that Callum Smith does anything? And how likely is it that Biderbiev once again blows the doors off this guy and knocks him out quicker than we can shake a stick at?
Well, I don't know if you remember him fighting Canelo, but Canelo famously beat him by punching the shit out of his arm, right? And bruising up his arm. It's part of the way he beat him. By hurting his arm, he couldn't throw it and he couldn't use it as a guard, and that allowed Canelo to work, even though Canelo was a smaller man. There's a clip right now on, I believe it's Sky Sports, where they're talking to Boazzi, who went into sparring against Beterbiev at one point. And he's talking about how him and his fellow sparring partners, including Bolotniks, were trying to congregate how they were going to figure out to get this guy tired. And like they all did not want to be first. He's not just impressive to fans like me in the gym. Anyone he's sparred has come back talking about this is the strongest man they've ever sparred. And everyone he's fought says the exact same thing. Anthony Yard talked a good game until he got a wallop from him. Afterwards, he talked nothing but respect. It's usually the case. Just unheard of power from this guy.
Co-main event is Jason Maloney versus Saul Sanchez, and I'm trying to get into this card. I'm trying, Manny, and I like Jason a lot. This also feels like sort of a very one-sided fight. Jason Maloney only loses to elite level fighters. Saul Sanchez, on the looks of it, he's, it's a nice little record. He's, 20-2 with 12 knockouts, and then you look a little bit deeper, and it's like, all right, well, he lost to Eros Correa in his, basically 18th fight. He lost to Edwin Enriquez, not the Edwin Enriquez who's the badass, the Edwin Enriquez who's 11, or who was 10-5-1, became 11-5-1 by split decision in 2019. How much likely is it? This is basically all right, Jason. We're giving you a nice little co-main event on a BWF card, get some exposure, and yes, you're gonna blow the doors off this kid and retain your title.
Well, Okay, so that being said, I can talk a lot more about the rest of the undercard. As far as Maloney, I think there's a strong chance he doesn't show up. I think Sanchez could spoil the party. From what I'm hearing, he's working very hard, and Maloney's already shit the bed a few times. So, and to be honest, as a co-main, I guess it's because of name power, because they got a WBO bantamweight title on the line there. Because it's a world title. But in theory, I mean, other than that, you got Christian Mbili, who's 25 and 0, 21 KOs, number one in the WBC. He's fighting Rohan Murdoch, who's 27 and 2 with 19 KOs. That to me is the real co-main, because here's the kid in the parking position waiting for Canelo. And that's for a Continental and a WBA international title.
All right, I'll grant you that. But back to the Maloney. I mean, I get it. He stumbled twice. He stumbled against Monster Inoue, who nobody does well against, and Manuel Rodriguez, who once again very few people do well against. It's not like he lost to two crumb bumps here, a la Saul Sanchez. So I get it. You like the co-main event because it's another Canadian Olympian, but. Is it frustrating that once again, this is what we're getting for ESPN cards? We get a big, sexy name for the main event. We get a decent little co-main event, decent. Third, or your unofficial co-main event, pretty decent. And the rest of it is sort of prospects versus prospects and hot
Well, okay,
garbage.
so hold on to your hat for a second here, okay? Let's just talk something. The Moreno Frondero kid who's opening up the show. He's only 2-0. He's interesting. You're right about that, okay? Mehmet Unal, who's like 7-0 at light heavyweight. I think in BoxRec, he's somewhere in the 50s. He's just starting out. You're right about that. Iman Katayev, only 5-0, originally from Australia. Whole nother ball of wax. 175 pounds. He's fighting for the NABF light heavyweight title, which I'll point out. I believe Arthur Beterbiev fought for at his 10th or 12th fight. So here he is in his fifth fight. The amateur background on this guy is just phenomenal. He's fighting Rodolfo Gomez, who's 14-7-3. It is a showcase fight, but open your eyes because that kid's on the fast track. 5-0 is nothing. By the time he's 12-0, they're looking to get him a title fight. So, within the
I
next two
get it, but
years.
this is one of those things where it's like if you're putting big money, if you're trying to sell a sport, and we talked about what the PBC and Amazon and with the zone, this just feels like, all right, yeah, here it is. Here's slop goat. If you don't like it, well, we don't care. Beterbiev's on, Billy's on, and all you Canadians come out and pay for it. And, well, we don't give a rat's ass about the rest.
You're wrong about that because you tune in and you'll discover something. Look, I'm going to tell you one name that I think the entire undercard is worth watching. Why? Because I legitimately think, even though he's very young, okay, I think I got an eye for this. I've spotted a few in the past. Christopher Machine Gun Guerrero. Okay, he's a Mexican Canadian. Okay, perfect background for this. He fights at 147. They're doing a catch weight for some reason. I don't know why. But he's fighting a guy that's 7-3 in Sergio Herrera. Again, it's going to be a showcase fight, but just tune in and watch the kid work and tell me he's not poetic. Tell me there isn't something there. Because I know there is. They've got a bunch of young prospects. They've got a good young female fighter in Leila Baudouin. These guys have been chomping at the bit to get an opportunity like this, to be on a showcase like this. So, even though you don't know the names, have faith in what I tell you. The undercard will be worth your dollar.
We're gonna switch topics here because I know you would wax poetically about all of these Canadians and some and make this it's like, oh, we gotta watch this here because it's gonna be great fighting, even though it's a bunch of prospects versus a bunch of crumb bums, but that's a whole different story, different day. And I would do that if it was American. I attack all countries and all promotions equally. Read
Do you
that
remember the
last year.
Do you remember the first time you watched Boots Ennis? The first time you
No,
noticed him?
because it was over before I could even blink.
Okay, well, I'm explaining to you. I remember the first time I watched Boots Ennis, and I was like, "Oh, this kid's playing with something different." Now I'm going to say this: the reason I'm mentioning Boots is because Chris Guerrero just came back from sparring him. And from what I understand, most guys don't do more than 2-3 rounds with boots and go home after a day. This is his second time out there. I'm not saying he's Boots Ennis. I'm simply saying, trust me, the kid's working with something. He's worth tuning in for. Him alone, but the rest of them, trust me, they're cooking with grease there. It's, I know you're seeing it as tune-up fights, but you got to understand, the matchmaker is not no dummy either. He knows what he's doing with. And for him, what's more important is the television, not so much what the opponents are going to do.
I switch topics here once again. And tell me about last year, because last year, was it a good year? Was it a bad year? Who was your fighter of the year? And what was, is boxing on the upswing after last year? Or was it still one of those things where it's like, it needs a lot of work? It's like a you know, a one of those house restorations where a lot of things need to be fixed.
I'll say this. Considering that we had 2 years of pandemic, we're doing a lot better than I thought we would. Considering Showtime is closed, we're doing a lot better than I thought we would. You know, there are a lot of negative things that are associated to the big money that comes with Saudi Arabia getting involved with boxing. But the positive that comes from that is the people that do have a stake in it here are starting to realize that if they don't get their shit together, they're going to get swallowed up. It's all well and nice for Frank and Bob to go hang out and become friends all of a sudden and be capable to talk to each other. For Eddie and Frank to be able to become friends and talk to each other. It's a wonderful world. I know that it's money that's motivating it. And I'm just amused by the fact that these men that consider themselves pillars or even the end of the road when it comes to boxing, now all kowtow to the big almighty dollar. And I think some promoters are quite aware that if they don't jump into action, big fights will forever be gone from places like New York, Las Vegas, and London.
A lot of people say it should be Terrence Crawford. He went up in weight. He became the undisputed welterweight champion. There's a lot of other people who think it should be Monster Inoue, who once again dominated another division. Basically is steamrolling over people and looks like, well, he might go undefeated in another division when he moves up. Who is your guy?
Well, look, it depends what criteria you're looking at, okay? If you want to sound cool, you're going to say Monster Inoue, okay? Because it's niche, not everyone knows the name, and you just want to be different. Let's just face it, everyone that said that, that's the exact reason they said it. The 99% of people understand that it's Bud Crawford. Now, most people are just saying it because everyone else is just saying it. And guess what, folks? That means you're number one. Okay? Because it's not because the wise men are saying Bud Crawford is number one. It's because the guy that tunes in once a year, because the guy that doesn't know that Floyd Mayweather was 147 pounds, not a heavyweight, because that guy now knows Bud Crawford's name and doesn't have a fucking clue who Monster Inoue is. Despite the fact that it's beautiful boxing from both gentlemen, and there's arguments to be made about their achievements and their styles and their attributes, the reality is, at the end of the day, okay, whether it comes to football, pro wrestling, professional musicians, actors, if it doesn't move the needle, it doesn't sell. Monster Inoue could come to Montreal, could come to New York, could come to Vegas, could go to Texas. It won't matter. Bud Crawford announces that he's having a fight here. I'm telling you, we're doing 20,000 people. And that's here. That's just because people want to be in and part of it. It's not because we have 20,000 fucking fight fans. So the answer is Bud Crawford. He's the popular choice. If there was a game of X's and O's or tic-tac-toe or Hollywood squares, your center square for this week would be Bud Crawford and not Monster anyway.
But how much of that is that? Because that's like, all right, well, he was the box office, which is great. But then it's like, okay, Well, that's the case. And you know what? WWE's biggest star is not Roman Reigns or Cody Rhodes. It's The Rock, who just shows up, gets a lot of hits, does those old stick from the 1990s, and fans go, wee!
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. That's why,
I
despite a
want
bald
your
spot,
opinion. I
that's why,
want
despite
your
a bald
opinion
spot,
as a boxer.
Hulk Hogan worked way beyond his years. Still sold tickets.
Like I was going to say, if that's the case, then hey, Canelo Alvarez should be bigger than, should be fighter of the year over Terrence, because he had two fights, took on the undisputed light middleweight champion, beat him up for 12 rounds, and sold a lot of tickets in T-Mobile.
Lost. You're skipping the part that he lost.
No, he didn't lose this year.
Okay, this year. We went last year, you went to Bevo, right? When you fought
Yes,
Bevo, he lost.
2022 was Bevo, but 2023 it was John Ryder in Mexico, and then it was Charlo, who once again Vegas and sold the place out. So if we're doing that, then hey, we can say Canelo. But I want you as a boxing
No,
fan.
Hold on. You were asking me Bud Crawford or Monster Inoue. Those were my two
Yes.
options.
On what is more impressive as somebody who knows boxing, as somebody who follows the fight game. I don't care about, you know.
I'd argue Usyk is bigger than Canelo right now.
All right. I don't care about that. When you talk about what's more impressive, what is more impressive? What Inoue did, knocking out, you know, two guys above his weight class in dominant fashion, or what Crawford did, beating up a guy who came up and took him a while and knocked him out in dramatic fashion?
You know what it is? Okay, so resumes are comparable, but it goes Bud Crawford's way. If you look at the way the guys did it, technically speaking, I would give it to Monster, just because Monster has more knockouts. There have been more finishes Monster's way. As far as delivering what you say you're going to do, you know, Bud Crawford has always said it. If you want to talk business-wise, Monster staying in Japan, he is Elvis Presley over there, and I would stay there if I was him. Also, let's be honest, if you're in control of everything, if your promotion is in control of everything, if drug tests and all the rest go your way, why would you leave? Now, Bud Crawford, on the other hand, promoterless, went on his own, crossed the fucking street that nobody fucking did. Okay? Mayweather, Pacquiao waited until everybody could get their last dollar out of it. Bud Crawford took his bag, went home, and bet on himself. That's the reality. There was a fake company that got created that was going to take over, and Adrian Broner was going to be part of it. And, you know, that lasted all of one fight. It was good enough to get him that fight, you know, against Spence. And that's all he needed. Business-wise, there's that. And then, you know, as far as drug testing, the guy's never shied away from one. You know, and then on top of that, as far as traveling, Monster hasn't traveled. Bud will go anywhere. He's proved it. He was supposed to fight Pacquiao had they not fucking shoveled us in with Jeffrey Horn. He went to Australia. He did that shit over there. What Pacquiao couldn't get done. Judges and entire country against you still pulled it off. Bud Crawford.
Let's talk about the other story that ended 2023 and we're still wondering what the hell is going on. USA Boxing in its wise glory has decided that transgenders can now compete in women's boxing. Another reason why boxing, I think, should be eliminated from, you know, the Olympics altogether. It's basically the rule says that if a transgender woman over the age of 18 in the ring can abide by strict rules, they can still fight. What the hell's going on? And is it time to start saying women's boxing is now becoming the freak show? That's what it is, folks. It's a freak show. It's not a sport anymore.
It's proving that we don't have any organization, that we don't really have real commission. There's state by state commissions, and then there's these belts that like to impose their rules. And then you got promoters that have the rules, and then different countries and different states and different provinces have rules. The reality is there are too many chiefs and not enough Indians. I know a lot of people don't like that pun, but it is what it is. There's too many people that need to get their share and think they're in charge and don't think for the greater good of the sport. We were susceptible to all of this social fucking pandering that everyone's doing now because no one knows what to fucking bitch about anymore. That's the reality. As far as this going on, I hope the people that have voted for this have daughters, and I hope those daughters are forced to change in changing rooms with 50-year-old, old, gray-haired, slobberly, transgender men, women, it things. And I hope they're traumatized by it. And I hope that, it's well worth, them feeling good about themselves and patting themselves on the back when they go to their, little clubhouse meetings. But the reality of it is, our sport is not a sport like the others. We are closely tied to life and death circumstance, and it shouldn't be taken for granted. It should be like, we need someone strong in boxing to just fucking take over. That's the reality. And as much as I'm not crazy about Saudi Arabia, at least they're strong. Because I'll tell you what, that won't happen in Saudi Arabia. I'll tell you another
You
one.
know, they'll just stone him to death. That's
It won't happen. It won't happen at a UFC show. It just won't. And here's the last point I want to make. If they want to do this, I got no problems with it. They can go ahead and do it. I want them to fucking impose drug testing. I want you to explain to me how this transgender male is going to fight someone on testosterone. Or this transgender female who's on estrogen blockers, which are also PEDs. Because let's fuck all the politics, fuck all the sexual shit. Let's just go to straight PEDs. The thing that got fucking Big Baby Miller fucking kicked out for 2 years. How do you not test positive if you're taking a drug that prevents you from getting female breasts, but also do generate muscle? How are you going to fight someone if you're taking a pill that makes you stronger and your muscles bigger and your voice deeper? But also is considered a fucking steroid. Doesn't make sense to me. What if a transgender now wants to fight their original sex? What if that's their new demand? Well, I'll tell you what we got. Vito Belfort, back in the TRT days. That's all we got to do. That's all any fighter's got to do with these new rules. Bud Crawford needs to come out and say, I identify as a female, but wish to continue fighting men. And I would like all these testosterone creams and injections, please. I'm exempt. I identify as a woman. There are too many fucking holes in this thing. Not only does it infuriate me, but it legitimately has too many fucking holes. Medically speaking, drug speaking, sexually speaking, right and wrong speaking. I can understand your life's fucked and that you're confused about who you are. And you want me to call you by a girl's name? Now that you've told me, I promise you I will. But if anybody asks me, hey, is that a girl? I'll be like, well, that's Gladys. Gladys is a guy that wants to be a girl. I won't lie about it. Because it hurts your feelings. I'm going to continue to be honest because I live in something called the real world. Now, I don't have to be a dickhead about it. I can understand you're fucked up. I'm fucked up in all kinds of different ways. But it doesn't mean you being fucked up means I got to be fucked up too.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, he pulls no punches, takes no dives, and is actually one of the few people defending women's boxing. I give you the pride and joy of Montreal. I give you its many Montreal. Manny, so before I let you go, where can fans check you out at? Where is a Twitter page, YouTube, Instagram, X, Facebook? Where can fans hit you up at?
Manny Montreal, Manny MTL. You can find me on every platform. My main space is Instagram. You'll find me there. I do my live videos there, and I do my interviews there. So if you're looking for me, best place there.
Manny Montreal, ladies and gentlemen, once again, always an honor, pleasure having you on the show. We come back, a lot more going on here, only on It's Last Call. Last Call with the Alcohol, only on the Last Call Podcast.com.